This is...
What's going on, people? It's your boy, Izzy.
It's your boy, Tez.
And this is...
The Tez and Izzy Show.
Back again with another episode. Season 2.
Hey, I love it.
Off to a flying start. But obviously, that's all thanks to our sponsors.
Soft and precious.
Vaseline.
Petroleum jelly.
Make sure you get it at any African shop.
Make sure you use change.
You can get a special discount if you just type in our name online, The Taz and Izzy Show. But anyway, on with the show. We have a very special guest.
Let's go.
From our rival city, Southampton. Bit of a sticky one. She's climbed a mountain in South Africa.
Mountaineering, that.
She's one of seven kids. She's a pianist. Speedway course with Vicar has been done.
Hey.
She's undergone plastic surgery. And she's a certified business owner.
Hey!
It's the one and only...
Maisie!
Why have I been asked more about my future husband in church than how my heart is? Why do things that don't matter in heaven matter so much on earth? Are we seeking heavenly priorities? Because as Christians, our priorities have shifted, right? Surely our whole lives have. We won't be walking into heaven with our church. It'll just be us standing before God. Will we be able to say that we really know him?
Wow. There you go. That was amazing right there.
I love
that. How are you feeling today, Maisie?
I love that we just went deep straight away, to be fair. This yeah. starters we need to go on, guys. Yeah, great to be
Those
here.
Those are some very, very deep and like thoughtful questions there.
Yeah,
honestly.
I think we kind of made the video to sort of like get people thinking, and like I didn't want it to ever come across as like this is how you should live or whatever. This was just more like when me and my friend Jemima like spoke about it in a kitchen, having like midnight revelations, praying about it and feeling like the spirit led us to speak about it. So yeah,
wow.
I'm glad I had a good response.
Wow. No, I really enjoyed it. But obviously we don't actually know each other.
Yeah.
Complete
chatted on Insta, you know.
Literally, that's literally what it was.
Such a millennial, you
Shout
know.
Out to the DMs.
I saw her video pop up on my timeline and I was like, okay, this is kind of weird but needed.
Yeah.
And
I was
like, okay, let me post it on my story. And then she actually DM'd me.
You're making me shut
up.
I'm
just saying.
You're making me shanky when you reposted.
The thing is though, we need more females to actually DM. So well done for that. But yeah, like, that's how we linked up and I was like, look, come through. Let's do a podcast about it.
Come over to Portsmouth, mate.
And that's
make
it.
The treks to these ends.
Exactly. So obviously we don't actually know each other, so could you just quickly tell the people a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I am a second year university student in Southampton. I've last year I joined the church plant, HGB plant St. Mary's. So I think we've actually spoken at Focus. Apparently I came up to you.
30 seconds.
Clearly, honestly, me being keen.
Really? Wow.
But yeah, because kind of like the rivals, Southampton, Portsmouth. But yeah.
Exactly. And it was funny because I knew you, but you didn't know me when we first met face to face.
But really, explain then.
How do you know me?
Because from Focus. But you just didn't know that conversation.
Oh, wow. That's kind of good.
I was like,
that's
mate, is it get the story again? The plot thickens.
Nah. But yeah, okay, so it's nice that we have similar churches.
Yeah.
And back to the video, what kind of inspired it? Like, what was it that made you want to do it?
So I'd basically been at, so basically HGB is like a whole new type of church for me. I kind of grew up in like New Frontiers, which I think like I've brought up with a lot more kind of like, I don't know how to say it without sound bad, but like kind of convicting sort of teaching.
Yeah.
Like, and I really love that. I kind of love coming and being like, wow, I need to change my life. Like, but it's obviously said in a loving way, but like that's, I'm very kind of used to direct sort of like teaching, this is how you should live. And I think from going to the HGB plant St. Mary's, it's very much for non-Christians. And I guess it just makes you decide like what is church for, like the Christians or non-Christians. I really love that St. Mary's, like so many non-Christians come to church. It's such a great atmosphere. And I think like, I just had a lot of conversations leading up to like me and my friend Jemima speaking about in the kitchen, like from like just my girlfriends, like from friends around, just being like kind of how they live their life. I'm like, I don't know, it's, I'm just like, I feel like God has so much more for us. And I feel like we teach a lot of grace in church, which is amazing. Like, I'm all for that. But I also feel like God's truth needs to be preached. And like, we love people, don't want to leave them where they're at. We want to like grow them and change them, and you know, so yeah. Like, yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. Don't worry.
Yeah,
we got so
that's
it.
A bit about behind the
story. To be fair, that's like a normal theme on this show, like trying to make it like more unashamed or more explicit.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes it's kind of like watered down.
Yeah, definitely.
And you'd find, especially like at a place like HDB, not on purpose, but like they'll be trying to, since they're trying to get new Christians, they kind of like water it down so that it kind of doesn't scare them away.
Yeah.
But also you need that that hard-hitting stuff that really gets you.
So I basically went to a church camp that was like a New Frontiers one, and it was basically, I chatted to this guy, and he was kind of saying how like church shouldn't be shaped by culture. Like, culture should be shaped by the church. Like, right. We should be the building blocks of culture, right. Shaping everything. And I feel like, I love that, like, HDB is so accessible for non-Christians, but I also feel like we don't want to go so far as to like try and be cool and culturally relevant, because it's like, God, Jesus wasn't cool, like,
he
do you know what I mean? I feel like he was crucified because people didn't want to, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we shouldn't, like, I don't want to, I want to be set apart, like, do you know what I mean?
I hear that.
Yeah, so
I hear that.
That's how I wanted to voice
so,
that.
So obviously you say that, do you feel with the rapid changes in today's culture that the church is conforming to that in a way to appeal to the masses?
Oh, it's so hard. I don't... Mate, they didn't pre-warn me on these questions. But I was like, he just said it through and he's now like... Yeah, I feel like we can very much do that. Like, I think church... Like, so my opinion on church is like, whatever church I feel like God's called me to, I want to learn from it and grow from it. I never want to like complain about church. I feel like we want to be part of like the change and just bringing the Holy Spirit into whatever church we're in. And I feel like, I guess... What is so exciting is like going to somewhere like Focus, seeing so many people our age at church is insane and like phenomenal. And like amazing. I feel like I love that, and I feel like because I have a faith with God, I know that my church isn't just about looking cool, because I have that relationship and I know I experience the Holy Spirit in church. I know Jesus is so there in church. I just want non-Christians coming in to see the coolness and accessibleness, but also see, but we're doing this because there's a God underneath. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Definitely. Not just see the surface level, because that would be such a shame for someone to come in and just not leave change.
Course,
do you know what I mean?
Of course. So, based on what you just said, why do you think that churches do conform to the masses and to the way culture is now?
I think we do it because... So basically, what I think is really interesting is like the church that I'm at, St. Mary's, is like a few, like 2 years ago, there was only like I think about 20 people going on a Sunday, and they kind of asked HDB to relaunch it, which is amazing. I think there's been a massive push between before young people, which I think is really good, but I think they've tried. Sorry, I'm now fiddling to try and get an answer.
It is a hard question.
Tell me your thoughts on it. It's a conversation.
So I think, firstly, there's a fine line between getting people into church and the reason behind why people come into church.
Yeah.
So nowadays, I feel like churches bring in people in order to, for image purposes.
Yeah.
In order to be like, oh, look, we have the most amount of people. Like, yeah. God is doing the most. Yeah. But that's not the way God works. He doesn't do it based on image. He does it based on intention. So why are you doing something?
Yeah.
And in addition to that, I also feel like the church has been a bit too open sometimes in order to make it seem as though that being a Christian is lovey-dovey. Really and truly, it's not.
Yeah, yeah.
Cotton candy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And actually, I think we're lying to people. I think... What can very often happen is we preach a lot on grace and like Jesus loves you, and it's like, yeah, but actually so many of my friends have become Christians recently, like amazingly through Alpha, and they've become a Christian, and one of my friends said to me, she was like, amazed, my life was so much easier before I was a Christian. And I was like, yeah, actually it is hard. And I think when you become a Christian, mess comes up, like your sin that you've 100%. Been living for however many years, 20 or so years, comes up, and actually it is messy, it is difficult being a Christian, but I feel like you kind of, that's why you've got to meet people, and like I don't want us to just like sell people that like life's amazing, you have it, because it is amazing with God, but I think there's so much more depth to it, and definitely. I think we're doing like new Christians an injustice by just being like, oh, it's really cool, come have some merch, come meet some people, great community. It's like,
can't get the merch.
Real community is being real with each other and saying, look, like accountability, like changing people because we're investing in them rather than, you know, like,
yeah,
no, that's true, that's true.
But I'm glad you, yeah,
no, no, I, like I said, when you become a Christian, life doesn't come lovey-dovey. Like,
you
go through some trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
Maybe even harder than before.
Mm.
But it's just having Jesus at the center of it to take you through it. The calm before the storm.
And like, even my mum says to me once, like, when I was going through, like, I basically, like, failed my year of university. I moved back home and I literally was like, God, like, where do you want me? And I felt like the devil. Like, if I'm honest, like, also the hard thing of being a Christian is I feel like I believe in God, I believe in Jesus. So, yeah, I believe the devil exists as well. And I feel like the devil, we fear the devil. Like, when we're living for God, when we're living for our purpose of who we are and bringing God glory, that scares the devil. And actually, like, I really, like, allowed him to get inside my head sometimes and, like, overthinking things, just like rubbish, like insecurities come back up. And I feel like it's because when you're like, my mom was just like, when you're chasing after God, it fears the devil, so the devil will come after you and try and attack you with like cheap lies, because you're, do you know what I mean? So it's like, actually, the more opposition you have shows the more you bring God glory. And actually, if you're in a place with a lot of trials, you're probably scaring the devil that you're in the right place.
It says in the Bible, it says that we should embrace the trials and tribulations, because that's how we can get closer to God. Because we tend to depend more on God when we're going through some trials and when we're facing some difficulties. So, and then obviously with what we said about culture and churches, on a more deeper level, do you feel like modern day Christians are starting to care more about what society says than what the scripture says?
Yeah, but I think maybe because we're not teaching the scripture as like heart-hittingly, like, look, I was so mad. I was chatting to my dad, and he said that in the church, this is his interpretation of it, basically, like, so my dad met my mum, he wasn't a Christian, she brought him to church, and he came along to house group.
Ignore that.
Like, timer, she's like, get her out. He came along to like a house group, and in his first week of the house group, they were like praying against like demons and stuff, and I thought that's like intense, but actually, like, that is sometimes what, like, like, it wasn't like sweet, it wasn't like sugar coated for him. And I feel like because he met that like real hard hitting gospel, and like, I feel like it just like gave so much more depth to his faith. And like, there was a guy, Greg Haslam, like, name dropping this amazing inspirational guy that my dad loves. Basically, like, he got up in church once and apparently was like, "You're all like lukewarm. If you want to be lukewarm, you can just leave." And I felt like,
whoa,
that's deep, but that's actually deep, it's challenging, because it, like, I, like,
I mean, you call
I'm,
people.
I'm just so scared to be like lukewarm. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not, God rebukes that. Why 100%. Are you? And I think, you know, like, we need to be teaching people.
100%. It's like, I've said this countless times, but if you want to be a part-time Christian, expect part-time benefits. Of it. You can't be doing Christian on a Sunday and then Monday to Saturday doing a whole different lifestyle.
It's a whole
lifestyle, like Monday to the next Monday. It shouldn't just be one day that you act like a Christian and then the next you're doing the complete opposite. Exactly.
But that's also like, we need to get better at that. Like, I know that I've been guilty of like leaving a church service and being like, oh, what did I get from that? Oh, that wasn't really, I didn't really like how they did that. And it's like, actually, like, church isn't always for us, like, what we get is actually what we can give as well to the church, and like
serving.
Yeah.
And also, like, we shouldn't just rely on the church to be spiritually fed.
Yeah.
I feel like there's some individualness that comes to it.
No, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I feel like sometimes the one of the downfalls of like being so happy to watch sermons and all that is because at the end of the day, that's all you're doing. And that, like, I remember we had this the podcast before. This girl named Liv, she was basically talking about how wait, I think I forgot my point. No,
I can't relate. No.
I'm trying to figure it out. She said in her course she has to put in the work, she has to study, she has to she has to go to the lectures, and then that's how she passes the exam and the tests, right? So it's like, for it's kind of naive for a Christian to think that all they need to do is go to the sermon, which is kind of like going to the lecture. And not going back home and doing the work that's required.
And, like, allowing yourself to be convicted, like, opening up yourself and being like, God, please challenge me. And I feel like I had an amazing chat with my friend from church about, like, worship. And he was sort of talking about how, like, we, like, why do we not wait on God's presence more? Why do we try and fit him into, like, a 12-minute worship set? And it's like, actually, like, why do we say that? And actually, it's amazing that God still wants to meet with us in the times. Like, we can give him, like, probably 5 minutes and he still wants to meet with us. That's amazing. But, like, how much more does he want to meet with us? Like, let's make ourselves more available to, like, encountering him.
Yeah, I think that's what it's all about. How do you think, as Christians, we can combat what society says over us and not have a focus on what the Bible says?
Yeah. I think, like, I just love the Bible verse, like, being on the world but not of the world. Like, stuff. So, like, even, like, just going back a little bit to my testimony, like how I didn't pass university, so that was failure in the world's eyes.
Yeah.
But I've had so many pictures from people. I've had like such healing from God. Like, I'm still going through that like grieving process of what my life was to now what it is. Wow. But actually, like, it was failure in the world's eyes, yeah, but like to God, I gained so much experience. I learned to trust Him. I said to God, I was like, God, whatever I do now is on You. So like, let whatever I do be of You, yeah, and actually like, and give You glory. And actually, like, that's so much like spiritual depth. That like, yeah, I failed, but it's like in the eyes of the world. But like, trying to look at things from a heavenly perspective.
Wow.
And I think even like the culture of like university, like going out drinking and stuff. Like I know, like when I did my first year of freshers, like 2 years ago now, like I totally was swept up with the world.
Mm.
But it's, I also think like every Christian is different, and it is down to your own personal convictions. So like, I'm a Christian, I go out drinking, I go to the, like, I don't think that's wrong, but I know some friends that can't do that because they know that then leads them into sin.
Mm.
So I think it's all very much down to like, your own relationship with God as well, and like culture, like, yeah, I even, yeah.
No, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Because like, even like Paul in I forgot whether it's Romans or, yeah, one of his letters. He basically talks about how like if your brother eats like meat, don't judge him, because maybe for him not eating meat is like, you know, a sin, and for you eating meat is alright.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same way a girl could like wear a short skirt and feels convicted,
mm.
and then someone else could wear the same short skirt and nothing, and God doesn't really do anything about it, because like people have their own struggles that they have to go through.
And like, we're gonna be continuing to be transformed and like redeemed by God till we die. And actually, I feel like, again, with like the like, because this is also the toss up with church, like the kind of preaching grace and also preaching truth, because it's like, actually, I have friends that like a new Christian who, like, I have a friend that before she was a Christian, she was like smoking, drinking loads. As soon as she became a Christian, she cut down how much she was still smoking, but for her, that was amazing. And I feel like God, like, totally just meets us where we're at, and it's like, there's not like a textbook way of being a Christian, which I think is like really powerful. Like,
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah,
that's a good thing, that there's no textbook in terms of we're all different.
Yeah,
there's no one thing that we can all follow, and that's the secret.
Yeah,
and that's why you can't judge
exactly.
Yeah, because exactly.
Like, if everything was the same,
then
you'd be able to judge. But now, since like your own grace is tailored basically to you, you can't say like, oh, you're doing this and I'm doing this. So you know what I mean? Because you don't know what the situation's like. Yeah,
I think also though, like, going back to that, like, I've now just like been to myself, like been before God and been like, God, I actually want to have higher standards for myself now. They're like, me 2 years ago, yeah, I could have gone out getting drunk and thought that was fine, but actually now I have higher standards for myself. And I think like, it's sort of like being like, God, like, you're my judge. Like, and even like with the said in the video, like, we don't go to heaven with our church. Like, I don't want to get swept up in church culture.
Real. And oh my goodness, like, that's real.
That's insane. Like, we're not, and it's like, we're standing before God. So actually, like, my church, I'm not going to be in my church forever. You know, like, it's,
that's probably one of the realest things I think someone's ever said on the podcast. Like, you're not going to get into heaven with your church.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it's one-on-one with God.
Yeah.
And it's based on your life. And you can't, and one, I remember I was listening to this sermon preached at my church back home in Zimbabwe. And this guy was like, yeah, I'm from Zimbabwe.
Okay.
He said something kind of that was kind of like scary, but also it's scary for non-Christians, but also convicting for Christians.
Yeah.
That like, God doesn't he doesn't judge you according to everyone else. He judges you according to Himself. That's why the judgment is so real, because He judges you against perfection, because He's perfect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, you can't, that's why you need, you know, to believe in Jesus, because He sees Jesus instead of you.
Yeah.
Right? So I agree with you guys, like, it's crazy that you can't get into heaven like I'm going with my connect group. You know what I mean? Like,
or like, my preacher said it's okay to do this, so I'm gonna, you know, like, it's,
it doesn't work like that. Yeah. So based on everything that we just said, how important would you guys say identity plays into these factors?
I think identity, like, it's the center of everything, because I think it's like, when you know your worth, you don't want to act in a certain way. So I think, like, I know that I'm a daughter of the High King, even though sometimes I had to remind myself more and more of it if I'm feeling that insecure that day or whatever. But actually, like, I know where my identity is. I'm like, you know, I've like been chosen, I've been created, like, God knows all about me. And I think actually that then shapes how I act, because it's like, well, I don't want to go out doing that, I don't want to like sleep around, because why would I know my I feel like it's like, I know that in Jesus, when you know your identity and your worth, that is when you can have pure freedom and pure peace. And I just feel like, when I chat to my friends that are like living maybe according to the world standards, I'm like, you may think you're fine, but I just, no, God has so much more for you. But it's just hard to say that, because obviously, like...
Of course, like, and, like...
You don't want to be judgmental.
Like, and also, it's so hard to get to that stage as well.
Yeah.
There's so much legwork that you need to do beforehand. And I guess I'm asking, why is it that there's so many individuals that are so unhappy with themselves?
Mm.
Like, why do you guys think that?
I think it's personally people holding on to their old selves and trying to live a new life. So there's certain things you don't want to let go, but still want to get the benefits of the new.
Yeah.
So you always know that there's something you should be doing,
but
it's that tension of like, I'm trying to move forward, but sometimes I dip back into what I used to do before.
Yeah.
And that's what makes people say, like, you know that going on Instagram might just give you comparison issues, but you do it anyway
because
this is, you know, this is what you usually do. You know, but then so it's just, I think it's there for me,
and that's why like the Christian life is so radical. Like,
yeah,
and I think I've spoken to like my non-Christian friends before, and like I love chatting with them about it and just being like, I don't like sugarcoating things. So I'm like, actually, it is radical. It is crazy because like it's meant to be like that. Like, why would you be a Christian to have like half benefits, like you said earlier? Mm. Like,
there's so much more.
And why do we shoot? And also, like, I feel like non-Christians, they might not understand what's happening in church, but like, I feel like my friend came to church once, it's so funny, and he was like, yeah, like it's a bit like a festival, like you all kind of have got this mad energy in the room and stuff like that. And I'm like, I love that he described it, because it is like, it is a mad energy, like it is, and we're not all gonna understand it, but like, let's not like give people half of what God is just because we're afraid they're gonna judge it or find it weird, because it is, you know, like,
honestly, I don't know,
until people are ready to hear it, they're gonna.
Exactly, definitely.
And back to what you said about Instagram, do you guys think that social media kind of infects your character and your identity in a negative or sometimes even positive? What do you guys think?
I feel a bit convicted on this at the moment because I have my accountability person set right behind me. So basically, Jay Reed. Basically, like, so I love Instagram, but I like, of course, like, as soon as I post a selfie of myself, so I'm gonna be refreshing the likes and see who's liked it, and like,
without a doubt,
and it's so hard because it's like, it's not wrong, but like, so I deleted it, and I only lasted like 2 weeks. It's so embarrassing.
I kept
justifying to
myself. No, I remember I did the same thing. I deleted my Instagram, and literally, I'll delete it off my phone and re-download it like in 2 hours. Just to like check, like, you know, what's happening. You know,
I just think though, for me, it's I hate chatting about this because it sounds so millennial, but like, it's like, for me, it's just it's just like FOMO, isn't it? For me, that's the biggest thing, and it's comparison, but also.
Let her say what she wants to say.
I think also for me, though, it was like, came from a place of like, I wanted to let all my friends in Guildford, which was like my first uni, like, know that I was having a great time and life was going really well. And I think sometimes you do just show the highlights, like, of course you do. Yeah.
That's what Instagram is for. Like, you don't go to Instagram to see bad pictures about people and like talking about the worst days.
But like, I've got perspective. Like, I feel like I, like, from just being in God's presence, from being the Holy Spirit, I know that's where I'd rather be than on like my. Do you know what I mean?
Course, so it's, that's
like,
enough. Yeah.
So I think when you have that priority, it's not like Instagram isn't a bad thing.
Let me not lie to you. Like, social media inherently is neither bad or good. It's about what you feed your mind, what you take from it. Do you take the bad or do you take the good?
Yeah.
So really, it's up to you. It's up to the individual
how
you kind of use social media as an influence in your life.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I love that I posted that video and I had people messaging me like...
Exactly. Your video is a prime example of like a positive way of looking at social media.
Mm-hmm.
What you said was convicting. People needed to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the other side of the spectrum, I know that there's people who are looking at, you know, other stuff that doesn't, that they shouldn't feed their soul with.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question on social media. What do you do? Because it's easy to say, like, there's bad and good, and it's really what you feed your mind. But like, if you have a friend who you talk to, like, you know, quite regularly, but you know that when they go on social media, they post their nonsense, like, what's the right thing to do? Do you block them? Or you just, you know...
I mean, on
your friend.
You can mute people.
Yeah, exactly. I was
going
to say, honestly, you can now mute people and they won't know.
Are you talking about as in, like, you feel tempted to look at their photos?
No, it's just like they post nonsense. Like, you just see, like...
what is nonsense?
They're in the club.
I can't say it. Should I say it? Because I'll say it quite bluntly, bro.
Say it, let's go.
All right, like, okay, let's say, like, you have a friend. Okay, for me, I'm a guy. So I have a friend who'd... I'm not saying I have a friend. I'm saying I would have a friend. In the scenario, I would have a friend who post like a thirst trap once in a while.
A thirst trap. For the guys I don't know, Maisie.
Yeah, for the
yeah. Maisie was like
from the Winchester.
Water trap. But anyways, no, like a thirst trap is like when you just post something provocative. So yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly.
We've all been
there. So you post something provocative, then you put like a Bible verse and then you,
yes!
Classic thirst trap. Anyways. But yeah, so like,
well, like people's bio, that's sorry, that's just the classic Christian bio, like your age, your uni town, then like a Bible verse.
Exactly.
And it's like, come on, that's not you.
Amen.
Exactly.
But apart from social media,
yes.
do you think like your environment can also shape the way that you develop as 100%. A person?
This is the tough one. So like the Bible verse is like iron sharpens iron, but actually I feel like we're not Christians to just hang out with Christians.
Mm.
So I feel like it's definitely getting a balance. Like I have a friend that's recently become a Christian. All she wants to do is hang around with Christians, because obviously I feel like for her, yeah, she needs that. She needs to have positive role models. She needs to have people that won't kind of tempt her back into her old way of sinning. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, I feel like for me to hang out with just Christians, I feel like we could kind of, like, not saying we would, but like we could chat now and keep chatting and be like, guys, we're such great Christians. I don't know, we could. And I feel like you can get quite prideful. And actually, that's why I think hanging out with non-Christians is great. Like,
that's what the Bible says we should do.
Yeah.
To hang out with non-Christians.
At the end of the day, Jesus says, like, you came for the sick, not for, like,
why
are you trying to help people that are already good?
Yeah. And I guess that's going back to, like, church. Mm. Like, who is church for? And actually, it is for non-Christians, isn't it? Like, yeah.
No, that's true. Apart from that, though, would you say university has impacted who you are as a person now? Because obviously, you've done it quite a few times.
I've done 2 freshers now. Woohoo! It was funny because I used to go to church and I used to come back and host pre's, and I was kind of like, I guess my first time around fresh, I was sort of learning my boundaries and stuff like that, and I feel like I've just gotten to a point now where I'm like, why would I even want to be in a club? Like, I don't really enjoy it. And I think and even for me, like, just being around like someone that like I'm waiting, I'm kind of like saving myself to a marriage, I'm waiting for the right person, I don't really want to be in a club. Like, I was in a club the other day and there was these people getting off next to me and I was like, this is just sad. And I feel so like, I hate being really Christian saying that, but like, it's not, I'm like, is this bringing God glory? No, like, it's not wrong to be there. Like, I'll still go out, but
it's a personal thing.
Yeah, personal. And I guess personal conversation, exactly.
Yeah. I guess the question that I'm trying to ask you is, are you happy with who you are right now? Or do you feel
like... Ooh, question. Deep. See, I thought...
Deep. Look into your soul.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, no.
We got a yes and a no. Let's dissect both.
I mean, I guess, like, you're fine with it, but there's always work to do, right?
Yeah, there's so much. I think recently, like, God's really humbling me recently, and I think, like, yeah, I want to always be humble.
Yeah, of course.
Like,
yeah.
And I think. Yeah, I think I'm being humble. Can I be really real? Right? I don't know who's going to listen to this.
Hey, this episode is
let's do this.
I'm really humbled on like my image in church, and I feel like I am the type of person that I will serve everywhere to feel known and to feel like I'm giving out. But actually, I'm like, who am I doing it for? I feel like I was so doing it for the thanks from people to be like, oh, Maisie's a great Christian. Yeah, yeah. And actually, like I did a preach at church, and it was amazing. But actually, afterwards, I think I became quite prideful, and I was like, I did a great job. And actually, that's not. Pardon?
No, I was like, you guys need to say thank you.
I don't know. I think that's the like quality I can see in myself. I'm like, you need to keep humbling yourself.
Yeah.
You need to keep. But I think the more you hang out with Jesus, the more Christ-like you become. So like, I know I'm never gonna be perfect. You know, like. Yeah.
I feel like that one's so tricky though.
Yeah.
Because like you can fall into this so easily. Like it turns from you just wanting a little recognition to like you being obsessed with like getting the next opportunity to kind of, you know.
Which is why I don't know how like Christian leaders really do it. I think
they
it's so hard.
It's a grace, man.
They
it's a
grace.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. They are one of the Holy Spirit, I feel, because they are willing to give it all to God.
Yeah.
And just seek His. What God has in store for them rather than what other people think, and it's hard to get to that place.
Yeah. And that's a lot of maturity, I think, and like I'm only 20, I'm still learning, and I think it's interesting actually. So like me and my mum are very very similar, and I feel like sometimes I'll talk to her about church, she'll be like, come on, like, why aren't you going to this prayer meeting, why aren't you doing this? And she's like, Maze, like, I'm working full time, I've got like 7 kids, like kind of. And I think she was a bit like, I was like you when I was your age. Like, and I was like, oh, that scared me, because I'm like, does your passion for God die? I don't think it does. I just feel like at the moment I have so much free time that I can give everything a lot more to God, and like, actually it looks different. And like, that's again just personal relationship. Like, my mum giving everything to God is also to serve her family first, and to like tell us about Jesus, you know. And I think it's like very easy to become prideful and be like, I'm doing a great job, I'm being such a great Christian, and actually like that's that needs humbling, that mindset. It's like less of me and more of God.
So how do you say that your relationship with God is right now?
I think
all time high.
Wow. Okay.
I think what I find kind of scary is like, not scary, I'm just like, the church I'm in at the moment, St. Mary, is like the most exciting place to be. And like, I've been a Christian like my whole life basically, but I've never had so many non-Christian friends that have become Christians, and it's the most exciting place to be. And I just feel like God really challenging me, and like, I do feel such a closeness with God. But I think part of me, like last year when I didn't pass uni, my comfort zone was gone and I didn't have anything to run. I needed Jesus. But actually now I feel like I can even see myself like building a safety net back around myself and being like, oh yeah, I've got friends in church, I've got a great life now. I'm now on year two. Woohoo!
Like, we made it.
And actually like I have my safety net, and actually that scares me, because I'm like, I don't want to ever get comfortable. Like I loved being not comfortable last year. I kind of, looking back, I was like, flip. All I did was, I was like, God, I need you right now. I need you to make me not feel anxious. I need you right now. And I feel like now I can kind of go through the day and not really need God.
Yeah.
And that's, obviously I need God, but I think that's just, you know,
I know what you mean.
And that's
scary. I had a similar thing where, like, obviously when you're going through it, you're just like, oh, this is so peak. Like, God, get me out of this.
Yeah.
But when you're like, the year when you're like, all right, you just remember like, man, I actually really used to talk to God a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel you.
And obviously, relationship with God is really down to the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Have you ever had?
I love the Holy. Honestly, I feel like He's the fun one. Do you know
what
I mean?
Like, wow, what
I'm doing? I love Him.
I really do love it.
He's so great. I love the Holy Spirit. Okay. What was your? I'm
so excited.
Yeah,
she's
like, do you remember they like me?
And I was going to ask, what has been your most dramatic experience with the Holy Spirit? Have you ever fallen down before?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Well, yeah.
Cool.
Oh, I love that. But
wait, what?
I love worship and like letting God move, because I'm like, I just think the Holy Spirit is amazing, and I'll probably be the one laughing to myself, to be honest.
You're one of the laughing ones.
I used to cry a lot, and that was a bit embarrassing, because I remember someone saying to me, oh, classic Christian girl crying. I was like, okay, I'll go into laughing then. I'll be joyful. I love the host. I just, what I find hard though is like, I know, I don't want this to come across wrong, but like, I've been in many situations with like close people to me that have been like, I've never heard from God. And I had one situation where I was sat with one of my really close like girls to me, and she was like, God's never really spoken to me. And I was like, right, let's pray. We will not leave until God speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept praying that for like half an hour, and then I kind of opened my eyes, and like, she was kind of crying, and she was like, God's not speaking to me.
Mm.
And that just, like, that's kind of where I'm like, God, I don't get it, because I know how like easy I find it to get into God's presence, and
someone else,
you know.
So that's
again why, like, with the video, like, I never wanted to post it and be like, I'm doing all great with God, because actually, like, being a Christian is hard, and like,
struggle.
Yeah, and you're going to go through your ups and downs, your different seasons with what God's teaching you.
I feel you. It's a struggle, like, when you're getting all the blessings and like you're one with God, and then you're seeing your brother or sister to the right and left, and like, they're just there, they're not feeling what you're
and
feeling.
Actually, like, if I'm honest, the times when I felt really low, someone telling me how good God is really annoying. So actually, like, I don't know, is that just
it's the last thing
actually I'm really aware of that, and like,
you don't want to be that person.
No, not at all. And I never want to be that judgmental person. I think, and that's why I feel like, again, with like convicting people, like, my friend said to me once, she was like, people care what you know when they know that you care. And it's like, build that relationship before you speak into it, you know. But
I love it.
Yeah.
That's good. How does the Holy Spirit communicate with you personally? Is it through prayer? Is it through worship?
Through worship, I think. I do definitely feel like my prayer life needs to get a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't pray enough.
Mm-hmm. I think prayer is more of like a discipline, isn't it?
Yeah,
100%. But I feel like worship, if you're in the moment and you're at church and it's really like, you know, I feel like that's easier to kind of like get there. Mm-hmm. But like praying is like, I'm at home now.
Yeah.
And like, there's like Netflix and seats. Yeah. You know
and also, I feel like, I don't think I pray like specific enough prayers because I'm a bit scared that it won't happen, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just my faith that needs to grow.
Yeah.
And even the song like God of Miracles, like He is the God of Miracles that we can speak to and have a relationship with. Like, why am I not expecting more? Why am I not praying? My friend said to me, she was like, "Why did all the cool stuff happen in the Bible, like parting the Red Sea?" And I was like, "Well, let's pray for more cool stuff. I don't know. Like, let's expect more from God because He wants to come through. Like, He wants to." And I just,
I think that's definitely you hit the nail on the head there in terms of people's lack of faith is probably the reason why we're not seeing as many miraculous things as back in the Bible. Because in the Bible, people used to only depend on God. But now there's like the little sense of doubt that comes into play.
But it's like something like fasting, like my friend Jamal does really well. And I feel like that really challenges me because it's like, she, like, it's kind of, I don't want to say this and not say it right. Look, basically, like, as in, when you're fasting, you're using God as like your daily bread, like literally, like physically. Yeah. And I feel like that's when He intervenes, because like we're really like being like, God, I'm reaching out.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and I think we need to get better at that.
100%. But it's hard to get to that stage in the society that we live in. We live in a society of comfortability where
that's
we just want to be.
Oh, it's not a real word, but it's okay.
Comfortability.
Yeah, it's not a real word, but it's okay.
Oh,
anyway,
we're
piping off. Anyway, we live in a society where we want to be comfortable.
I just don't want any of the viewers to use it and then they get blocked. So I'm saving them, but you can continue.
We live in a society where we want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And with that comes not depending on God, but rather depending on our own knowledge on how to be comfortable.
Mm.
And I think that's a trap that we need to kind of get out of.
Mm. But again, though, like, I don't want to ever sound really, like, judgmental, because I was in, like, I've heard of situations like that my friends have been through that actually I'm like, do you know what, I kind of understand why you have little faith right now. And actually I was actually so struck recently, like one of my family friends, like one of my friend's mum, has literally, like, overnight she kind of like lost the ability to like speak, walk. It was like she had a stroke. And it was madness. And actually, like, I went to, like, she can't leave to go to church. She kind of did church at her house, like 15 of us, and it was amazing because, like, I was like praying in the back of the room. I looked up and she was there with her one arm in the air holding her husband's hand, and like he was, and I was like, do you know what, like, and she was thanking God and she was like, God, no matter what, I still have your hope. And I was like, do you know what, like, flip, that faith is like so strong. And actually, like, I love stuff like that. Just situations like that inspire me so much. And I feel like,
no, to be fair, like, I feel like when you see that a lot of people who go through that, for some reason, always have, like, the grace to go through it. It's like God gives you what you need before you even go through it, you know, for people like that. Like, I feel like sometimes it can go both ways, where, like, it ruins you. Like, it totally ruins you. But most of the time, like I remember there's this guy at our church who basically, I think his house burnt down, and he lost his daughter in the same week.
Oh my
God. And then literally the next week he was praising God, like nothing had changed. You know what I mean? And it's just like one of those things where it's like, I think God sometimes just like prepares you right before you go through it. Or you just make sure you're strong enough to handle it right before, you know?
And also, I feel like with God, what I've learned, like, from like failing uni and stuff, is like God doesn't want a fake relationship with us. He wants a real relationship. And like, there was a time when I like drove from like where I lived back to my uni, and I was just like in the car, just like shouting the whole time, like, God, like, where were you? Like, why have you like left me? And actually, like, that just grew my faith even more, because it was like, I love that God, like, it's not a one way, like,
I don't have to be happy.
Yeah, you don't have to. Yeah, God wants your realness. And actually, like, I love that. And I had a situation at Focus where I was praying with a friend who's like been through a lot, and like we missed a sermon, and then we were like, let's go in for the worship, and she was like, I don't want to be here right now. And I was like, look, let's just sit down. And she was and we just sat down, and actually, like, she was like, I don't feel like I can worship right now. And I was like, babe, just be here. And actually, like, I think, like, God meets us where we're at, and, like, He wants to meet us. He's a good God. He wants to bless us. He wants to, like, do you know what I mean? He, like, it's not like God's making it hard for us. Like, I love, like, that with her. Like, the stuff she's been through, like, yeah, it's hard to worship, but I love that she was still, like, but I need
keep
to be in God's presence.
Out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hella convicting, because it's like we give up too easily.
Yeah.
We think, oh, God's not talking to me, so I'll just do my own.
What's in it for me?
Yeah. And like, that's the trap again that we just fall under.
Yeah. But I do think though, like, very much in this life though, it's kind of like, even like the going out, the relationships kind of stuff of this world, like sex and stuff, it's like, what is in it for me? And I feel like when the more you try and get, like, what I feel God's convicted me on about at the recent moment is like just selflessness. Like, it's not about you.
Without a doubt.
You know, like, it's not your agenda. Like, let go of that. And
It's beyond
theology. Yeah.
Because God has plans for us to use us to get other people.
Yeah.
And if we're in that same mindset of, oh, what's in it for me? We're kind of blocking other people's blessings in a way.
Yeah. And someone said to me once, they were like, Maisie, like, if you're not, it's kind of like, so sometimes we can over. I feel like definitely our generation, like, we can be like, what's my plan? What's God saying to me? It's actually like, look, like, don't idolise your plan. Just be available and where God wants you. And actually, like, if you're not going to follow your plan and be obedient, God will use someone else.
Wow.
It's not all about
it really
you.
Is, like,
you get a squad.
Yeah, and there's this thing that, again, Jemima said to me. It was like...
Jemima's got the sauce for it.
Right, bring her on the next podcast, guys. Like, kind of, sometimes we can view life like it's like a cinema, and like, it's like, come to my show, come watch me, like, to our friends and family. It's actually like, you're not even an extra in God's film of the world. You're not. Wow. Like, it's not about you. Wow. Like, and I think surrendering to yourself every day is the most powerful thing you can 100%. Do. And like, that's why I get frustrated sometimes when I am still like insecure and I still feel rubbish and I still like compare myself to other people, because I'm like, mate, it's not about you. Like,
it's not.
But it's training yourself with that. And I met her with a lady that's like mentoring me at the moment. And she said, she was like, you're never gonna, like, I'm not here to like heal your insecurities that are deep rooted, but I'm here to just give you like biblical like habits. Do you know what I mean? And just like train yourself against that way of thinking and like recognize, actually, this isn't of God, I rebuke that. You know? And it's just training yourself. Like, that's what just comes with spiritual like maturity, isn't it? Like,
Wow. I remember I had like, I figured that I was very like self absorbed when when we used to have this thing called Bible Track that we did at Harbour.
Yeah.
And basically just teaches you how to like analyze the Bible, kind of get meanings out of certain scriptures. And for one of them, we're told to not see David as you, but see David as Jesus killing Goliath.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, this whole time I've been David. Like, every time I played in my head, I'm David. I'm the one with the slingshot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or in the lion's den, I'm like, I'm Daniel. Or you know what I mean? And God is like, and the whole point of that was just to replace, you know, David with Jesus, replace Daniel with Jesus.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And that's when I realized that, oh my gosh, like, I put myself so much in the forefront that all the heroes are me.
Yeah.
instead of you know, Jesus being the hero at the end.
And I think we overcomplicate it. I don't know. Like, I love the song, I think, by United Pursuit, like, Simple Gospel. Like, let's come back to the simplicity of God. I don't, like, and everything else in this world, like, that's happening. Like, and I do think, like, this world is a scary place to be in. Like, there's so much, like, natural disasters. Like, there's so much, like, you know, and I think it is scary. Again, I don't want to be naive and, like, block it out, but I'm kind of like, God, I just want to focus on you. And I just, my opinion on stuff in the world, I just want to know what you're saying about God, and that's my opinion. Do you know, like...
Definitely.
Yeah. So, in your answer, you mentioned about your, like, immediate plans, how you want God to dictate that.
Yeah.
What are your immediate plans in terms of after uni? What are you
thinking? So, this is... I kind of come to the piece that I'm not going to... Well, I've had, like, leadership kind of spoken over me and stuff, but I feel like I'm not ready at the moment. Like, I just think right now, I think, because I love this like Mike Todd thing. It was about, I think it was his Mark series, and he was talking about how, like, don't wait until the opportunity, like, kind of create the opportunity, or like, live out your gifts now, don't, and then God will provide the platform that he needs it to be on if he wants it, like, and God will give you the people to speak to. So kind of like, I did a preach at my church, like, I loved doing that. I felt like I'd love to do that more. I'd love to church plant in the future. Yeah, wow. I'm so open to that. But at the same time though, like, now I'm like, you don't need a stage, you don't need people to listen to it, just say it to your friend, you know, and I think it's like, I've even learned, like, because I think what hit me hard about failing uni was like, I'd planned my whole life living in Guildford, I was like, the church I'm in, cool, I could see myself raising my family, that, like, you know, and I think that's what I think I'm grieving more than the course. I'm grieving that life I kind of wrote out for myself, and I was like, God, you didn't listen to my plan. And actually, like, obviously humble yourself, but at the same time, like, I don't, obviously, like, I'm dreaming with God, and I'm dreaming of doing stuff, but I think God's just, all God's ever said to me recently, and I'm praying about my future, is just like, get through your degree, like, honour me with your degree and pass it, and I'll use that.
Do the best you can.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And also, I really hope for another video, volume 2 of that video.
Girl.
Yeah, I really want to hear it.
Arizona. Obviously, shout out Jemima on that one. Actually, Jemima, do you mind just hopping on the on the mic a little bit? Do you want to come in this little girl?
You never ask.
So obviously, Jemima was the producer.
Yeah, we'll go with producer
or director.
All in one. Filmer, editor.
Wow.
Hey, all right.
So, like, what is your firstly, what is your relationship to Maisie?
Well, we've kind of known each other forever, haven't we?
Yeah. Our parents went to uni together.
Yeah, they did. And then, like, our parents were in the same church, so we grew up in the same, like, kids' work youth group. So, yeah, it's been a lifetime.
Really.
It's
good. Yeah. And then, do you have some more videos coming up, maybe?
Definitely. I want to make that a priority because I feel like we just get so excited about different topics. And actually, when, like, you give it away to the Holy Spirit, like, He does so much with that film. And I feel like when, like, God gives us gifts, like, He wants us to use it for His glory. That's the only reason that, like, we've got those gifts.
Yeah.
So I think, as when we were writing it, we were just really, like, praying, being like, Holy Spirit, please just lead this whole thing. Like, we want to literally just represent whatever You want to say right now.
Yeah.
So I think that was really exciting. But I think we'll probably... We've got a lot more on our hearts, I think, that we want to, like, put out there.
And we want it to be of... We don't just... Yeah.
Yeah.
Like she said, sorry. She says it better.
But yeah, I feel like God is just using creativity right now in such a powerful way.
That's so crazy.
In this generation.
Because yesterday we talked about creativity. And how people aren't really using it for the right purposes.
Yeah.
Because, like, as Christians, we're all gifted, right? And how do we use our gifts to glorify God? And I think that's what we struggle in. Yeah. So it's nice for you to
I feel like it's becoming a thing right now. Like, that, like, people are being risen up in creativity. People who've labelled themselves not creative for ages, and it's like, actually, God's put creativity in each one of us. Like, He is the main creator. He is the one that created creativity. Yeah. So it's like, I just think it's really exciting, and God's still got so much more to do with people that want to get Him to speak through them about, like, whatever He wants to talk about.
That's amazing.
And I think films are a good way as well, because you've got, like, social media, you've got Instagram, they get shared so easily. Like, we were, like, still so, like, surprised with everyone sharing it, but it's just so easy. Like, you just watch it, you can just share it, and, like, it does reach a lot of people. So, like, it's really important what we're saying at the end of the day.
Well, guys, you just got a little preview of our next episode.
Yay!
But definitely we will have you on, I think, once you've got some stuff out that you can talk about
some content.
But yeah, we ask our guests this every day, Maisie. Every time we ask you, if in 10 years time everything goes right, where do you see yourself?
What, at 30?
Yeah.
I like the way she said,
hopefully with no grey hairs.
30?
Where do I see myself? I would love to be working with teenage mums, supporting them.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Teenage
mums.
I have a passion for women. And basically, like, I just think, teenage mums, working with them, I'd love to be, like, involved in a church plant, helping with that. I'd love to, that's all I have.
So far that's good. I like that.
I'm such a relationship person as well, so I just, like, want to use nursing, but kind of not medically, maybe a bit more, like, socially, kind of, see what that role turns out to be like. But
I hope that goes well.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
We really appreciate it.
Well, guys, from, like, meeting you in the lobby. Like,
yeah, that was a bit weird.
It's touch and go.
That's how we made it.
Love that.
But anyway, it's been your boy Izzy.
It's been your boy Tess.
And we'll catch you soon.